Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Art historians have a term that they use to describe what can sometimes happen to an oil painting. The term is pentimento. Over time, oil paint, as it ages, can become somewhat transparent. Oxidation alters the refractive index of that oil film so that where there once was color, you can now see through to what lies underneath. So that as you look at a painting, you see not only what the artist painted, but your eye can go beyond that to what lies behind it. It may be another layer of paint, or it may actually sometimes be a sketch, a line drawing of what the artist had originally intended. And so you have that marvelous experience standing in front of a painting, being able to see not just the painting, but a window into the mind and the heart of the artist as you see what lays underneath. Pentimento. So you go to the art museum and you stand there before this majestic painting of Jesus driving out the money changers from the temple. And Jesus stands there on the left side of the painting. He is a towering figure, draped in blue. His left hand is raised up almost to the corner of the canvas, and he has a whip of cords in his hand. And there on the right-hand side, you see the money changers. They are cowering, bowing before Jesus. Their tables overturned, their arms shielding their head. And they're not cowering and bowing because he is God. They're cowering because he has a whip. And as you look at the trajectory, you realize that that arm of God's wrath could sweep down and take out everything on that canvas. And you stand there amazed at this picture of the wrath of God in Jesus. But your eye is drawn also to that robe, that amazing blue that clothes his body. And then you see it, right there, underneath the hand that's clutching the robe. It looks like there is a scratch on the painting, a shadow, something. And so you come closer to the painting to look, and there, all of a sudden, you begin to see through that blue. And you see a line drawing, a drawing of a forearm and a hand that has been raised in blessing. And all of a sudden, you see what that artist originally wanted to paint. He wanted to paint what human ability could never achieve. He wanted to paint a picture of the wrath of God and the blessing of God all wrapped up in one person, Jesus. But he changed his mind, and he made instead that hand grasping a cloak. And you stand there somewhat sad, because you see what he painted, but you also see what could have been. That sadness of seeing what is and what could have been, that sadness of pentimento, is what we have in our Old Testament reading this morning. It is that sadness, that sorrow, that despair that drives this prayer of Moses. God has offered Moses here a painting of the promised land. God has shown him what he will do for this people, and yet Moses, as he looks at that painting, sees behind it what could have been. And his heart is so torn that he comes before God in prayer, and he holds on to God. He presses further and further behind that painting to somehow grasp hold of the heart of this God that would take his people into the promised land. This text happens right in the middle of that mess that follows the golden calf incident. Moses has been on top of the mountain. He's received the tablets of the testimony of God written by God's own finger. And he comes down from that mountain and he hears a sound. It's not the sound of battle. It's not the sound of victory. It's not the sound of defeat. It's the sound of singing that he hears. And as he comes down from that mountain, as he passes through that crowd, he sees the people prostituting themselves before the gods that they have made, singing the praises of Zion to these gods that they claim have led them out of Egypt. He hears the songs of sinful pleasure, and Moses comes back to God and intercedes for these people, that God would blot him out rather than these people, and God now answers his prayer. God says to Moses, "This is what I will do. I will send an angel in front of you and the people, and the angel will take these people through the desert to the promised land." God answers his promise of a land for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He answers his promise. He says, "I will send an angel. And not only that, I will drive out the inhabitants of that land. And not only that, these people shall live in that land. They shall enjoy its pleasures. They shall have milk and honey and live in that land and the promises of God. But there's one thing they will never have. They will not have the presence of Yahweh. Because if I were to go among those people, my wrath would wipe them out in an instant." And so Moses is faced with a choice. He can have all of the promises of God, but not his presence. Or he can hold on for something more. And Moses, with that painting of the promises of God for the people of Israel, Moses looks at that promise and he says, "No. No. If your presence does not lead us, then do not send us away from here." Moses will not take the promises without the presence of God. And this is a daring and dangerous act. Because that holy God brought into contact with those stiff-necked people will wipe them out. And Moses knows that. He's seen the wrath of God. He was there just a few moments ago as God had the Levites strap onto their sides their swords and walk through the people and stab their brothers, their family, their relatives, their neighbors, 3,000 corpses piled upon the ground in the camp. And these men are declared holy because they have their robes spattered with the blood of their relatives. That is the wrath of God. And not only that, but he saw the plague come out from that mountain. The people couldn't even see who was attacking them, and they fell. Whoever God chose to destroy. And Moses now says, "I will take that holy presence of God, and I will take this sinful, stiff-necked people, and I will hold on to both of them because I believe that somewhere hidden in that destroying wrath of God is a hand that's raised in blessing." And so he intercedes in prayer. "Show me your glory." And God shows him his goodness. No one can see the glory of God and live. So God takes Moses and puts him into a rock. His face is shoved against rough stone. He cannot see anything. His body is immobile because the hand of God holds it as his glory passes by, and unable to see, unable to feel anything but rough stone, unable to move, Moses can only hear, and he can only live by what comes to his ears. And suddenly he hears a sound. It's not the sound of war. It's not the sound of sinful singing. It's the sound of a song of Zion that has been sung before the world began, a song of a holy God who dwells among people. "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." And Moses now has come to that hand raised in blessing where God has made a choice freely to love this people. And God has chosen Moses for this moment. raised Moses up so that there would be an intercessor, so that when the people of Israel are faced with the wrath of God that would wipe them out, there is one who will intercede and hold on to God until you see that hand raised in blessing. I hope you see it. Do you? Pentimento, that faint tracing of what was originally in the artist's mind. Paul, in the letter to the Ephesians, writes, "For he chose us in him before the world was created." Deep in the heart and the mind of God, before this world was created, was his choice of us in Christ. Before the canvas of this world ever existed, before we ever had a place on that canvas, this etching was in God's mind that he would choose, the Father would choose to send his Son to intercede so that Son could hold in his hands us stiff-necked, sinful people, and a holy God taking the wrath of God upon himself so that God might come to us with his hand raised in blessing. This text is our pentimento for today. And what a blessing it is to have this text read today for you, Rod, Joel, James, Trent, as you are being sent out in ministry. When Jesus cleared the temple of the money changers, he did it for a reason. He did it so that this place here could be a place of prayer, a place of prayer for all nations. And here we are, one small fragment of all those nations gathered in prayer. And here we see those prayers coming to fruition, the prayers that God would send pastors out into the world, the prayers that that word of God which you preach would bring the nations to this place. Here you see so many prayers being fulfilled. The prayers of the congregations that have called and desired a pastor, a vicar, the prayers of your home congregations. When you first thought about coming to this place, the prayers of your family, your friends, I dare say, your own prayers, said not just this day, said throughout the time you were here at the seminary, all of those prayers in this place. And today, this text offers us one more prayer. An ancient prayer, prayer of Moses. Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from this place. A prayer that teaches us to value the presence of God more than all of the promises in this world. And I dare say you yourself would probably agree with that prayer, that you could have the perfect call. You could have everything you ever wanted, the location that is just right, the people that are just right, a wonderful package of salary and housing and all of those opportunities of ministry that you've ever dared to dream of in this place. You could have it all, but without the presence of God, you would say no. Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from this place. What a blessing to have that prayer, but even more, what a blessing to see behind it, to see God's choice to send you a mediator, to send us a mediator, to send his Son, Jesus Christ, that he might hold on to us, sinful, stiff-necked people, and the holy presence of God, so that wherever we go, whatever place you go to, you will find the hand of God hidden there, raised in eternal blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.